Well, thank you, Thomas. We're going to be in John chapter 16 this morning. John chapter 16. I'm going to pray I don't have a technical difficulty. Just have those days sometimes, you know. You go for a while, everything's running smooth, and you get comfortable, and all of a sudden you have that one day. Thank you, Lord, for keeping us humble. John chapter 16, starting in verse 1, and this is going to be farewell part 3. We're with 3 parts of this farewell thing, and this will be the last farewell week. Still the same passage, set of passages, but Jesus is fixing to move into the actual prayer part of it. So, again, Jesus is giving these last words. He's speaking the last things to his disciples. He's taking this opportunity. He's not long before going to the cross. He's trying to share as much as he can with them. And beginning of verse 1 of John chapter 16, this is what it says. These things I have spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God sacrifice or service. And these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor me. But the things I have told you, that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I did not say to you at the beginning because I was with you. But now I go away to him who sent me. And none of you ask me, where are you going? Because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. And he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you the things to come. He will glorify me, and he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Holy Spirit, speak to us this morning. Help us to hear, to understand, and to apply as we need to. Jesus, in your name we pray. Amen. Now, again, as with pretty much anything Jesus says, there's probably several weeks' worth of stuff that you could just get in a couple of passages of Scripture here. And I know pastors that would probably take one or two verses of that and spend a week on each verse in this passage, and God bless them. So I'm not that guy. But it's great stuff in here, and there's so many things. But one of the first things I think that we should look at right there at the beginning is this. Number one, God speaks to us so that we will be informed and we will be protected. That we will be informed and that we will be protected. He says that I've spoken these things to you so you'll know what's coming. And because you know what's coming, you're not going to stumble. Isn't it great to have instructions sometimes? Isn't it even better to have warnings sometimes? Things like danger, electricity. Warning, electric fence. Who's ever touched that? Amen. Farm people.
It wasn't that bad.
Yeah, we've all done it. Well, not all of us, but we've done it. Sometimes even with the warning label, we go ahead and do bad things anyway, don't we? Y'all said that too loud. But if you know something's going to happen, you're not caught off guard or shocked by it. You know, and I mean, one of the things I've learned with the knee, and I was talking to the physical therapist, you know, as we were doing the exercises on my knee, and it feels a lot better just from doing those, you know, which is good. But one of the things I told him is like every day or so, it starts to feeling better, but then I walk out and I fall in a hole. He started laughing at me. I'm like, well, I don't literally fall in a hole. But either the dogs, the possums, the squirrels, somebody is digging holes in my yard. That no matter what I do, wherever I walk around my property, all of a sudden I kind of do one of these deals. And when it never fails, I do it on the right leg, the one that's hurt. Isn't that the way it always works? Whatever is hurting you the most, that's what, if you have a tooth that's sensitive for something, you sip cold water, what's the first tooth that water is going to hit? the one that's sensitive, right? It never fails, whatever injured. And he's like, well, stop stepping in holes. I'm like, if I knew where they were, I would. But it's not like I'm walking going, is there a hole here? Is there a hole here? See, if I'd have had a sign, if God would come in and put hole, 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 hole all over, just like, you know, you're driving down the road, you see that sign that says bump. What's coming up? Hopefully. Of course, the way the government works is usually it's not a bump. They fixed that years ago. They failed to take down the sign. It's too much money. But hopefully there's a bump coming up. There's a warning sign. There's a reason they put signs on the highway, isn't there? Right? You see this one that goes like this and it has this little arrow going this way. What does that mean? There's a turn coming up. Our favorite ones are the ones in the mountains where you see these. Are the scary one when you see it go like this? You're like, what? How is that? And it's not a no U-turn sign. That's what the road just did. See, if we're informed, we can be prepared. We can be protected. We know what's coming, and knowing helps us prepare a defense so that we won't fall. And I think that's why when the devil attacks, it's always a slow drip. Because I think and I believe most of us, if the devil showed up right here and said, hi, I'm Lucifer, I'm going to tempt you, what would we all do? We would either run, or we start proclaiming the name of Jesus and booting him out, one of the two. Hopefully both. I would hope if Lucifer stood right here and said, I'm Lucifer, I'm here to tempt you, none of us would go, all right, well, let's hear what he has to say. Right? But that's not how temptation works, is it? Nobody leaves the donut sitting on the table with a sign that says, if you eat this, you're going to gain 50 pounds, have diabetes, and you're going to have a heart attack by the age of 55. If they did, would we eat that donut? I would. No, it's a donut. It's worth it. No, I mean, we probably wouldn't if we knew the effect. But now, in some respects, we've been told some of this stuff, haven't we? Nobody puts the sign on the donut, but we know the donuts are not good for us, right? So what do we say? Well, as long as it's in moderation, it's okay. Just eat a couple. Don't eat the whole dozen like I used to. Don't eat the whole dozen. But see, God came, Jesus, and said, look, I'm telling you these things so you won't be caught unaware, so that you'll know, and so that when you know, you're not going to stumble. Because he's telling them, look, things are about to happen, and it's not going to be easy for you. You think I'm going to have it tough, you guys are going to have it tougher. Because number two, those who persecute believers think they are doing the world a favor. Back in Jesus' time, you know the religious leaders of Jesus' day, when they had him crucified, they believed they were defending God. Paul said, no, we will not have these blasphemers spreading the gospel of this heretic Jesus. I will kill them all in the name of God. Very Christian attitude, isn't it? Or excuse me, very Jewish attitude, wasn't it? He wasn't Christian yet. You know, we as a church do the same thing sometimes. We may not literally want to kill them all, but we'll scream, holler, yell, and tell them how bad they're being, don't we? But those that come against the believers, they think they're doing the world a favor. What do they call us now? Bigots? Hate mongers? Hypocrites, liars, mean people. That was the kindergarten version. There's a whole bunch of stuff they call us. Hate-filled. They call it, when we speak truth, they call it hate speech now. Call us racist. Oh, by the way, that's the new catchphrase nowadays. If somebody doesn't like what you said, you're racist. It doesn't matter if they're Casper White like you are. You're still a racist. They think they're doing the world a favor. We got to get rid of these Christians. We can't have their toxic message being spread around the world. Let's stop them. Let's get rid of what they're doing. Man, the ones that put you out of the synagogue, they're going to think they're doing God a service. But here's the reality. They don't know me. They don't know God. They claim to speak for God, but they have no clue who they're speaking for. And again, I'll say it. There's a lot in the church who claim they know God and are speaking for God. You don't know God. We're not speaking for Him either. Because He would never say some of the things we say. Well, that was a general statement, wasn't it? He would never. I don't know what He would never do. But I don't believe, based on Scripture, that God would say many of the things that we say. But there's someone coming. Now, it's very rare, isn't it, that we tell somebody, you know what, it's better if I leave. It's for your benefit that I go away. I didn't sit with my dad in the hospital room and have him go, son, you know, it's better that I'm going to die.
It's going to be better for you. It's not the way it works. But Jesus, why did Jesus say it's better for him to go away?
Because he's sending someone else. The helper, the paraclete, the one who comes alongside to make a defense, to make intercession for. To speak to. He's going to do the heavy lifting. Read right here. And you go back to how we interact with the world. Whose job is it to convict the world of sin? Mine or the Holy Spirit's? You can say it. It's the Holy Spirit's. It's not my job. Now, my job to preach truth and then let the Holy Spirit deal with them. You're never going to argue anyone to heaven. You know that? It's never going to happen. We tried it way back in the Middle Ages called the Crusades, where we're going to go fight to save Christianity, fight to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. It didn't work well. But he says, look, he's coming. And when he comes, he's going to convict the world of sin. He's going to show us righteousness and how you need to get righteous and be there. And those are awesome. But then he gets to the fact because he's going to show judgment. Judgment of who? The ruler of this world. You know, Satan's already judged. Satan has been defeated. He's done. All he can do is try to take as many people with him as he possibly can, or to trip up as many of us along the way as he can. He's already been judged. He's already been found guilty. He's wandering around on death row right now waiting for his final sentence. Number three, you know God is still speaking to us through the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, I can't tell you everything right now. You can't handle it. But I'm going to keep speaking through the Holy Spirit.
Why? Because what
the Holy Spirit hears through me and the Father is what He's going to tell you. When the Holy Spirit speaks, we're hearing God.
Plain and simple.
One, because the Holy Spirit is God. There's no conflict between the Godhead,
the Trinity. And God is still speaking to us.
Every time you open Scripture, you read. We've talked about this in youth, how you can read it one way one time. And you get this impression, this thought comes to you, you write it down, you think about it. You can come back a month or so later and read it again, and there's something new there, something bigger and deeper. That's not because you've necessarily gotten any smarter, is it? It's because the Holy Spirit is impressing truth upon you. Part of the prayer is, Lord, help us to apply this in our lives as we need to. Why do I pray that? Because that's the reality. You know, everyone in here is at a different point in their spiritual walk. Some of us may be close. Jesus says, the Scripture tells us that when we become believers, we become new creatures. We're new creations. We're babies in the faith. Some of us became babies in the faith at age 8, 9, 10, 11. Some became babies in the faith at age 40 or 50. That 11-year-old is just as deep in their faith as that 50-year-old. Isn't that amazing? But the worldly knowledge, what they know in their context, is going to be vastly different. So the knowledge this one gains is applied differently than how this one is. As a husband with children and a wife, the things I take out of Scripture and apply in my home life is different than somebody who lives alone, isn't it? The truth is still there. It's the application. How does that truth apply? That's what we need the Holy Spirit for, to continue to speak to us, to continue to go, here's what I'm talking about. Here's what that, all right, and here's where you're at. The dangerous words you, most dangerous words you can ever ask in a church, what do you think this passage is talking about? You know what, it doesn't matter what I think the passage is talking about. It matters what the Holy Spirit says the passage is talking about. What does Scripture speak and what does Scripture say? I pray the Holy Spirit never allows me to influence Scripture from my viewpoint. Because my viewpoint's messed up most of the time. You know that? Why? Because we're all sinners, aren't we? Verse 16. A little while and you will not see me. And again a little while and you will see me because I go to the Father. Then some of his disciples said among themselves, what is it he says to us? A little while and you will not see me. And again, a little while and you will see me. Because I go to the Father. There they said, therefore, what is it that he says? A little while. We do not know what he's saying. Now Jesus knew that they desired to ask him, and he said to them, are you inquired among yourselves about what I said? A little while and you will not see me. And again, a little while and you will see me. Most assuredly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, and your sorrow will be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come, but as soon as she gives birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice. And your joy no one will take from you. And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask in the Father, ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, you will receive, that your joy may be full. Number 4, temporary troubles are forgotten in light of the joy found in Christ. Temporary troubles are forgotten in light of the joy we find in Christ. I've said it before, I've never had a child. I don't know what it's like to go through labor pains. I've been in the room. I've heard the noise. I've seen it. I don't want to ever go through it. I think that's why God gave it to women, not men. We couldn't handle it, could we, guys? Say that loud and proud. But there's also a reason that as soon as the baby's born and the kids start to grow up, that I believe that some of the women kind of, they remember, but they don't really, it doesn't ring as true. Like if you were to ask a woman right in the middle, right before she gave birth to a child, do you want to have another one? Most of them would go, no, never. Right? But, you know, after a while, you've got the new baby, things have calmed down, and you're like, yeah, it was bad, but look at this baby, you know? I think that's why God does that. Because if God didn't make us forget what it was, make women forget what it was like, we'd have had like 2 kids and that'd have been it. The world would have stopped with Adam and Eve. But sometimes that's what happens. We trouble, we labor, we struggle. There's pain. But the pain leads to joy. This is what he's telling them. Look, I'm going away. It's going to be bad. We've probably dealt with that in life when we've lost someone we love, someone we know, someone we care deeply about. There's a time that we weep, we mourn, we grieve that loss. And you will, as long as you're on this earth, as long as you're here. But if they're a believer and you're a believer, one day you're going to stand in heaven together. That joy will come again. I believe heaven's one of those places. I don't think relationships are going to be exactly the same as they are on earth, but I don't think we're not going to know anybody. I think we're going to see our loved ones. We're going to know our loved ones. We're going to be able to rejoice and praise God together with family
and friends that have gone before or come after.
Everything that happens now, everything that seems bad in this life and is bad in this life, eventually for us as believers, is turned to joy, isn't it? But it's turned to joy through Jesus Christ. Number five, the key to receiving what God has is to ask. Ask. I don't know how many times with children you find out at the end of the day, well, I wanted to go do.
Can you say nothing? I didn't want this for breakfast.
What do you want? I don't know. Ask. Say something. Something. Anything. Does it mean you're going to get what you ask for all the time? No.
I want filet mignon and poached eggs. And
I'm not going to make that. French toast? Gotcha. Scrambled egg. We're good. But you're not going to get anything if you never ask. And the key here, though, really, is God says, whatever you ask in my name. And if we're asking in the name of Jesus, what does that imply? We know who Jesus is and what his will is. We're not going to get up to somebody that's caused us problem, and say, in the name of Jesus, strike that person dead. We might want to. But we know that Jesus is going,
it's not how to do that. That's not what I meant, is it?
We know it because the disciples have even said, Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven and kill them all?
Jesus went, oh.
No, listen. When we know Jesus, when we know his will through the power of the Holy Spirit leading and guiding us, when we ask, we'll be asking what God desires anyway. Man, if I really, really wanted to watch a Star Wars movie, I'm just like, man, I wish we could watch Star Wars, but I don't want to bug the kids. And my daughter comes in and goes, Father, because that's how she would address me when she wants something. Can we watch Star Wars? I'd be like, yes, let's watch Star Wars, because I wanted to, right? But if I didn't want to watch Star Wars, what's the answer going to be? Well, in our house, it would always be yes, because I always want to watch Star Wars. But anyway, I'm a dork. But no, if it's not part of my will, if it's not part of the design, or if it's not part of our ability to meet that need, us, we say no, don't we? Or if it's something that you ask for that's not beneficial for you. Father, can I go jump off the top of the house? No. Did it. It hurts. All right. The sheet parachute did not work. Am I the only one that tried that as a teenager? Okay, no, Thomas. All right, thank you. Thank you, Thomas. The key to receiving what God has is to ask. Ask. There is power in the name of Jesus. Did you know that? There is power when we, the name of Jesus, things like demons flee. Sickness will run away at the name of Jesus. I don't believe anything has changed. I believe you get to the book of Acts, one of the first things you see is the disciples begin putting this in action, don't they? Silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. Whose name did he use? He didn't say, in my name, get up and walk, did he? See, Jesus is the only one that didn't have to say in the name of Jesus. Because he was saying it. Man, but we invoke the power in the name of Jesus. That's why when we pray, In the name of Jesus, the most powerful name of Jesus. Jesus says, in your name we pray. Whatever version of that we use, don't we? Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Ask. Verse 25. These things I have spoken to you in a figurative language, but the time is coming when I will no longer speak to you in a figurative language, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I shall pray to the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me, and I believe that I came forth from God. I came forth from the Father and have come into this world. Again, I leave the world to go to the Father. His disciples said to him, see, now you're speaking plainly and using no figure of speech. Now we are sure that you know all things. Now they're sure, right? All right. And we have no need for anyone to question you. But this we believe, that you came forth from God. Jesus answered, do you now believe? Indeed, the hour is coming, yes, has now come, that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. Where is peace found? In Jesus. That in me you may have peace. In this world you will have tribulation. What are you going to have in this world? Trouble, tribulation. Is this world, is everything going to be peachy, lovely? When you get saved, is everything a bed of roses? You just wander around sleeping on clouds, eating bonbons all day? No, that's not the life in Christ, is it? Right here, you are going to have trouble. Remember, he started this off with, they're going to boot you out of the synagogue. They're going to come after you. Then he gets down to here. In this life, you're going to have trouble. But that's not where he stopped, is it? But be of good cheer. Wait a minute. How many of y'all get up and rejoice every day that you're going to have a cruddy day? Yay, today's just going to be horrible, isn't it? Praise God. That's not what we do, is it? We don't want cruddy days, do we? We want good days. We want days that are easy and smooth. We don't want technical difficulties and sound problems and video problems. We want everything to work perfectly. But Scripture says we're going to have problems, aren't we? But be of good cheer. Be happy. Why? I have overcome the world. If you get nothing else from this message this morning, take this one. Number 6. Rejoice. Jesus has overcome the world. Jesus has overcome this world. Nothing that happens in this world matters because Jesus has overcome it. Sickness, Jesus beat it. Death, Jesus beat it. Loneliness, Jesus beat it. It doesn't matter. Jesus has overcome this world. He's overcome the rule of the world. He's overcome the fallen nature of this world. There is victory in Jesus Christ. We must rejoice. That's why when things happen, when bad things happen, we can go, well, praise God. Something good must be on the other side. Even if it's not in this life, we know there's something good on the other side. Because Jesus has overcome this world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. God, I pray that there's anyone that doesn't know you, anyone that hasn't given their life to you, God, that they would take this opportunity and just yield to you, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you lead them, you bring them, you call them this morning. God, we know that we have troubles. We know that there are things going on in this world. God, help us to have that rejoicing attitude. God, we know it in our brains. Help us to get it all the way down to our heart and our soul that we can feel it. No matter what, that you have overcome this world. Jesus, we love you. We give you all the glory and all the praise. It's in your name we pray. Amen.